When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Who Cares About the Rock Hall, a podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Why?
I'm your host, Joe Quazala. With me, as always, Kristen Studdard.
That's me.
Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
We are in the thick of it, as I say every time. If people are just listening for the first time, the deal is that I'm
obsessed.
That
would be wild.
That would be crazy, but it happens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obsessed with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and you are not.
Not.
Definitively. Although we've been going long enough where you know so much more than I think the average person, and I bet it tears you up inside.
Yes, it does. It does. And it has ruined many conversations.
Yeah, anytime music comes up, you're thinking it, if not vocalizing it. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Well, we are in the thick of it because it is nomination season. It is, excuse me, continuing our special coverage of the 2019 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominations and eventual induction ceremony. I've been doing it up top now, and I'm embarrassing myself in front of our guests, and I think that's a fun,
I think it's fun.
Table to set. Let's bring in our guest, a return guest, a former nominating committee member, a journalist, a mensch. So happy. Roy Trakin.
Hi, Roy.
Roy, welcome back.
Kristen, Joe, thanks for having me. Always
boy.
A pleasure.
We're so
in the
happy.
Wilds of Eagle Rock. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and you were our... it was just, I just remember the thrill of getting someone from the NomCom.
Because we more or less only had our friends on the show up until...
You legitimized us.
Yeah.
You helped us gain cred.
Yeah, I was out in the Twitterverse. It was you guys do a nice social media job with your hashtags.
That's
and,
all, Joe.
We
can.
At
That's
all.
Joe.
Yeah. We try to get out there, spread the word. I don't know what word it is.
Oh, boy.
Is the word rock, Kristen?
You better stop it. You better quit. You reached over to poke me on the word rock.
To give her a
little nudge.
You love it.
Quit while you're behind.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So, Roy, this is Rock Hall season, so to speak. You know, the nominations have been announced. The ballot is out. We are in between nomination announcement and inductee announcement. You have brought your ballot.
Brought the ballot.
We're in the room with the ballot right now. I see it on the table.
The ballots were sent out, I believe, last week. I got mine, I think, on Friday, and then people started getting them over the week.
And it is November 6th as we're taping it.
And I am freaking out.
So there are ballots across the country being filled out. And
some
we are
more important than others.
And ours today will be the Rock Hall. But we will get to the ballot later. I would love to know, generally, how did you feel when you learned the names that were on the ballot?
I think this is a very lively batch that covers... a very diverse range. There are a couple of my favorites in here. I know we discussed Roxy Music the last time,
and
here voila!
They are.
I mean,
I don't know if this
credit.
Power of the pod. Power of the pod.
I don't know if this little podcast had anything to do with it, but I think Roxy has been a name that's been bubbling under for some time now. There's a number of first time nominees on this list. There are several that have been through the mills a bunch of times. I'm thinking LL Cool J and Kraftwerk have been
zombies.
On. The Zombies are on again.
Right.
This is a ballot that has a little something for everyone.
Yeah,
and,
which is so great.
And
truly shocking and incredible, and I'm so happy about it.
Yeah, there are some left field picks on here that you wouldn't have expected. Devo one of them.
I wouldn't have thought.
I don't think they've appeared before.
They have not. No.
And I don't think Todd's appeared before either.
He has not. No,
right.
This is Todd's
first. This is his first.
This is his first appearance.
I mean, he's one of those kind of hybrid type characters that you know, really deserves his own wing. I mean, mm-hmm. if you're judging him just as a performer, it's pretty impressive enough.
Right.
When you consider his solo work and then Utopia. But then you throw on his production work, mm-hmm. Hall & Oates and the New York Dolls, mm-hmm. obviously.
Bat Out of Hell.
And Grand Funk Railroad, Meatloaf,
oh, wow.
Bat Out of Hell.
He did.
I mean, such an eclectic resume that,
yes.
that he has. He's really kind of one of those unsung heroes, more or less. And what I like about his nomination here is that it kind of opens the way for other similarly, you know, kind of multi-types of mm-hmm. performers who just, you know, they don't fit into, you know, performing necessarily. They don't fit into behind the scenes, but
yeah.
they've had an enormous effect on the genre. And, hey, you know, I don't think you can argue the extent of what Todd's done, just, you know, a little bit of his resume. I mean, from Bat Out of Hell to, you know, to Grand Funk to the Dolls, that to Hall & Oates immediately covers a tremendously wide range.
Yeah. It's, you know, you would think he would be a candidate for that musical excellence category.
Yeah.
That they tend to throw people like Nile
yeah.
Rodgers.
That's right. I mean, that's usually a kind of a backhanded compliment sort
mm-hmm.
of thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
you've been nominated 100 times. We're gonna get you in.
Right.
Is that,
by
wait,
hook
is
or
that
by crook.
Where, is that where Carole King is?
Carole King is technically under a non-performer,
right?
Which means songwriting. Yeah, for
she's
case.
One of those that's
wild.
Been discussed mm-hmm. to be, a, you know, to come in as a performer.
Yeah,
and I think deservedly so.
Yeah.
No question.
Although
about
it feels like the fact that they have she has not been on the ballot since her induction as a non-performer. It kind
what
of
year
feels,
was that?
I mean, that was like she was probably probably early 90s. I mean, it was like a long time ago.
Okay, so
80s,
they feel
90s.
Like she's done and dusted. That we took care of Carol.
That's how it feels.
Well, it depends. You know, I mean, you've got Stevie Nicks this year,
for example, as a
solo artist, mm-hmm. and you know, you gotta, you know, if you kind of look behind the scenes a little bit, you know, you can feel the influence of powerful people, and
mm-hmm.
Irving Azoff being one of those
right.
who. Works tirelessly behind the scene. Stephen Van Zandt is another one who holds mm-hmm. a lot of sway on
and
the...
He's obviously a public member of the nominating committee.
Right,
although
right.
it seems Irving's not, but seems to be from the outside, from the right. shadows.
He's a shadow member.
I mean, when you know, when he started working with Neil Diamond, all of a sudden Neil Diamond was on the nominating list
mm-hmm.
and got and got inducted. You know, this is, you know, you've got to look again behind the scenes. And another one who might have sort of that kind of influence is Tom Morello, who's
yes.
also on the nominating committee and is also nominated this year for Rage Against
right.
the Machine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even though they might feel like a long shot to me and you and the rest of the, you know,
community,
voters,
so to speak.
Yes,
yeah.
but
wow.
don't underestimate the power
community.
Of.
Well, he's
being there.
He's connected.
He's connected.
You know, he
yes.
knows who to call if he needs to politic.
Kiss would not have gotten in without Tom Morello.
Right. That's
Hall & Oates would not have gotten in without Questlove.
And you.
And me. Yes. Yeah. and me. And Blondie as well, as we
mm-hmm.
discussed.
Right.
I mean,
I was
in there battling for them. And Roxy, although I haven't had a chance to battle within the committee itself, I've
right.
done. A lot of
you
kind
laid the
of,
groundworks. You made
yes.
the inroads.
So
you
when
were
they
in
came,
there swinging
right. when,
a pickaxe into the mountain.
Well, it's important.
You know,
it's
to
important
the jar.
To the nominating committee that these acts have stayed active and have
mm-hmm.
stayed. You know, the Zombies. All of a sudden, you know, a couple of years ago, they came back, started doing live shows,
mm-hmm.
got a lot of, you know, critical approbation,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, the Zombies are now in the eye of, you know,
yeah.
they're under the microscope. They're
there.
People have noticed
yeah.
them. They're part of the conversation.
They're more than just a wedding song.
But, you know, the Zombies, I think even though they've been nominated for at least what the
this is
last
the,
year
this
or
is the fourth time
so they've
yeah,
been
so
on
the
they've
third,
been off and on
third in a row, and I think it started in 2014.
I don't know if familiarity is a an advantage or a hindrance in this case. In some instances, it's like, okay, you know, we've been there, we've done that. It's not new, it's not exciting.
Sure, but you see, a lot of the artists who end up being inducted each year, a lot of them were the first time they've been on the ballot. And I think it's because people get excited, like, they're finally, Chicago is on the ballot, it's having been snubbed for so long. Of course, I've been waiting for this, I'll go for them. Versus the artists that potentially are more deserving.
You again?
But yeah, it's like, well, you know. But I think there could be other ways about it where it's like, third time the cars are on the ballot, let's get them in finally. They shouldn't have to keep waiting. So I don't know. It's hard to, there is excitement, but.
Okay, questions about Todd Rundgren. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is his first nomination.
This is first.
So we do have some novelty to the nomination. Mm-hmm. So that is exciting for people. I think that he kind of, he scratches that kind of, I don't know, that genre itch for some people, like that kind of mid-70s.
Yes.
Like,
I mean, he fits, I mean, maybe not as much as other artists, but he is technically classic rock. You know, mm-hmm. he's from that era. The era that is, you know, mythologized by the Rolling Stone crowd. You know, he was definitely from that period that you expect when you look at a lot of the inductees, especially recently, you tend to see people who came out of the 70s.
Here are things I know about Todd Rundgren.
And this is, yeah.
This is
how
we like to start with, what does Kristen know about Todd Rundgren? Or about the artist at hand. This isn't like last week when we talked about Janet Jackson.
And yeah, you could go forever.
I know and love the song "Hello, It's Me."
Mm-hmm. Probably his most famous.
I know that he is very important as a producer. I wasn't exactly aware of like all of the acts that he had produced, but I did know that he was very important as a producer. I know that he reminds me in many ways of like Carole King, like his type of mm-hmm. music reminds me of kind of a funkier, like it's like the funky side of Carole King
of,
in
like
a way.
Singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
And just to go off of that, you should look into Laura Nyro.
Ooh,
who
that?
He is very heavily influenced by.
Okay.
NERO?
NYRO. NY. Okay, I will look.
Yeah, she's a singer-songwriter, very influential, specifically for Rundgren. He cites her out of the gate, almost just saying like, I kind of ripped her off once I heard her.
Well,
I started.
Laura Nyro was a big pop star at one point. I mean, she had mm-hmm. a lot of big hits, and as a songwriter, a lot of her songs were covered by other people.
What's but, like her biggest hit, or like what would
down to the Stone Soul Picnic?
I do know that song. Mm-hmm. I've heard that before.
That's like probably the biggest one. There's a few others.
Also, he is a weird looking dude.
Sure. No,
I do
you
know
have
that
to.
He's a weird looking dude. He's got long, weird hair. He's got kind of a birdish, strange face. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's got weird teeth. Does he have weird teeth?
I think
and wear funny glasses?
I don't
sometimes?
Know. He does glasses for sure. Weird hair.
Weird hair, definitely.
You know, my
and
man.
Hung like a horse, by the
wow,
way.
Wow, wow, yes. Wow. Is he part of the Hollywood Vampires or whatever they were called?
No.
No, okay. No, he was not. I think Todd is a long shot.
Did he
on,
ever
on
get Cynthia
oh,
Plaster cast? Or yeah. Did she ever do his
I don't know
members?
If, I don't
how
know
do we know that he's
him?
I don't have her Rolodex.
I did an interview with him back in the Bearsville days,
and it ended with him.
And he came down
taking his pants off.
Well, no, he came down in a in sweatpants. Okay,
that left little to
the imagination,
I hear what
even
you're
to
saying.
My imagination.
All right,
I hear
sure.
What you're saying.
The picture was clear.
Yes,
abundantly clear.
I mean, Todd is kind of like Zelig. You know, I mean, he's present at all these, mm-hmm. you know, interesting points. I mean, certainly as a musician, when you look at Utopia, he was very forward thinking about the role of electronics and synthesizers. And I mean, he you know, if they're awarding, you know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in terms of, you know, of brilliance and in terms of moving the, you know, moving the needle forward. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, look no farther than A Wizard, A True Star, you know, the great, you know, his Sergeant Pepper, essentially, mm-hmm. which is, you know, the one man band kind of thing, which he took out to the furthest limits. But, you know, he was a Philadelphia guy. Has a lot in common with Hall & Oates, grew up with the kind of the doo-wop, the soul, you know, ooh,
you can
baby,
hear that.
Baby, you know, yes. on Wizard of True Star, he does that whole kind of, you know, Philly international kind of
tribute. Can we hear some of these songs, maybe? category? Do you have anything?
Oh, for sure. Well, why don't we go through the categories?
Yeah, let's talk about Todd in the categories. I want to hear him.
As you might recall, Roy, I have my list of categories that I think if you do well enough in those categories, you have a good case.
Maybe one you should consider adding is like, you know, does he have any, do we know any known cheerleaders on the nomcom? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's another thing that does influence.
Someone who would politic with the voting body.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, you can have the biggest cheerleader on the nominating committee, but once your name gets out to the voting public, then it's a different ballgame.
I don't know. You know, Questlove, another Philly guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was influential with Hall & Oates. I mean, maybe he'd have some sway with Todd. I mean, I was delightfully surprised at Todd Rundgren appearing on this ballot, seemingly, you know, out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere, yeah, real indication.
I know there have been, you know, certain calls for him. I mean, this one journalist, Roger Friedman, who's online, he's a big, you know, kibitzer about the Hall of Fame. I know he's been a big Todd Rundgren supporter through the years. But this ballot is just filled with this is a real cult artist ballot.
Yeah, it's
not, when you look
it really
at it,
it's not the commercial mainstream.
It's not, except
ballot,
for Def Leppard and maybe Janet Jackson. I mean, you've got real cult artists on this, from The Cure to MC5, one that's been on a few times. Mm-hmm. John Prine, I don't know if he's ever been on, but I mean,
and that was the true out of the blue.
That was the zero people saw
that
coming.
Tom Waits has gotten in, and Leonard Cohen has gotten in.
A little bit of a precedent for the quirky singer-songwriter.
Yes, who hasn't gotten the complete recognition, hasn't had commercial success, but has a very strong cult following and stays active. That's important. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's been out there, very visible. He's been
on
the talk shows, playing.
Not him on a bench.
So Prine, I wouldn't underestimate John Prine as a left field.
Because he's got powerful friends. I mean, you know who loves John Prine is Bob Dylan and Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, he's got the best. I mean, so many people.
The big names.
He's the songwriter's songwriter.
Yes.
I mean, he's one of those that other songwriters admire. Mm-hmm. And that holds a lot of sway
Who does our friend Rundgren have on the committee trying to...
I think Rundgren has a lot of friends in the industry. I mean, because he's worked with so many people.
Well, I said, like, Questlove, fellow Philly guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
And, you know, I think with Rundgren, it might have been out of the blue, but I feel like his name was bound to come up soon.
Where is he at in the fan poll?
He's in the top five.
The fan poll, by the way? I know I just read that Roxy Music overtook Radiohead.
I saw that on Twitter. Why did I see that?
Do you think that fan poll has any other influence beyond being a single ballot among many ballots?
I think it does.
Because,
you know,
Stevie Nicks was the number one person at the Rock Hall, right?
Well, let's not confuse
the
voting
online
at the museum with
the online poll.
So the online poll
happens after the nominees
is happening
are announced.
Now.
Right. Yes.
It happened right after the nominees were announced, and the top five will comprise a ballot. One ballot amongst a thousand or whatever.
Many, yeah.
But I do think that the standings in the poll have somewhat of an influence.
On the voters themselves?
On the voters.
Yeah, because they might look it up and be like, oh, well, who do the fans
Who's doing well? And if you look at who was doing well on the poll the past few years, it's pretty close to what the inductee class ended up being.
Yeah. Well, where are we now? Do you have those standings at the moment?
Def Leppard is far and away number one. Hmm. And then after
Stevie is number two,
right? And those two are ahead of the pack by quite a bit. And then after that, it has been a race between Rundgren and, let's see.
Well, Rundgren has that kind of popular support.
So it's Rundgren is third.
That's pretty good. I still think he's a long shot, though.
And then four and five are The Cure and The Zombies, kind of neck and neck.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And if you look at those five, you know, those are the most classic rock of those bands.
Janet Jackson is
number six. But there's quite a gulf.
I think Janet Jackson has a good shot this year.
We think so too. We covered her last week, and I think
now that I look at it, I think Def Leppard has a pretty decent shot.
I think they're a lock. I don't see. You know, they're like the Bon Jovi this year.
I think Radiohead is suspect.
After last year, anything could happen. That's kind of how I feel.
And their stance against the Hall does not help them.
Doesn't help them, yeah. Although they haven't been as vocal about that this year.
I think that's something that is a count against you.
Mm-hmm. But how long can you ignore them, you know?
Mm-hmm. I don't think you can. I mean, Radiohead will be on my ballot.
Until they're in, yeah.
I think they're influential. I think they're important. I don't think they're at their peak right now. I think, I don't think they're as hot as they were, say, a half dozen years ago.
Sure.
But they still have an incredible, yeah. Loyal following. And, they continue to do, pushing the boundary type work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't we fill out the ballot later and let's focus on Todd
let's
for a little
Todd's
bit. We've got some good
categories going.
Some good Todd. You did a good Todd preface.
Also, I'm really excited to fill out this ballot too. This is, I tell you what, I've been having some election anxiety, and it'll be nice to fill out a ballot just doesn't really matter.
For someone who doesn't care, Kristen,
I'm telling you, you
are really getting involved in the process.
I am so happy to be talking about something inconsequential today.
It's rather refreshing, isn't it, to get away from propositions?
Yes,
and,
I like couldn't be happier in this moment to have something else to think about.
All right, so let's go through the categories.
Let's talk about Todd.
So the
also
first
an artist that I'm interested to know more about,
mm-hmm.
because
you like
I always
heard
like and... what I've heard, and now knowing his production, I
he
mean...
raised Liv Tyler.
Oh, what?
Liv thought Todd was her father until
that's right.
You
when she was a teenager
joking.
And found out that it was Steven's.
Well, because Bebe Buell is her mother, right?
Right.
Bebe Buell was involved with Todd. I don't know if they were married, but they were involved for
quite a
long time.
So for a period of Liv Tyler's
name
life,
used to be Liv.
Either it was
Buell
her mother's
or
name or it was Rundgren. I don't know that it was. Yeah, but it
she
was.
She took Tyler because she's like, this sounds awesome. And if I want to have a career, it's probably better to associate myself with the most famous person.
But what a life to be Todd Rundgren's my dad. And then you're 16 and you're like, oh, it's a cooler rock star.
Yeah, that's wild. I mean.
Yeah. Anyway, that's not one of the categories.
Also, not one of the categories.
About your daughter.
It's not about
familial ties.
Can I just say, though, how I'm sure this has been said and this is not a new thought, but how could anyone look at Liv Tyler and not think that she was Steven Tyler's daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Like her face, her lips, the whole thing.
I don't know the story. She didn't know till she was 16.
I
know Todd raised
years.
Her, but I thought that she knew all along that. I mean, I thought Steve Tyler was in her life at a certain
from
point.
From what I remember, and this is in my head from some VH1 show I saw when I was probably 17.
Behind the Music.
Yeah. Or even a sub tier of that. As I recall, it was that she did not know for a period of time and then found out. But anyway, let's talk about. The first category for Todd Rundgren, critical acclaim. I feel like Todd has had a pretty solid acclaim from the critics. I mean, you are literally a critic. You are a journalist. You could be the authority
on this. I think he's
been
a critical favorite. Throughout most of his life. I mean, not everyone loved Utopia, but I think that there was respect for what Todd did. I mean, he's not in the category of a Def Leppard in terms of... he's not a populist guy. I mean, I mean, he survived a lot on critical goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
So,
I mean,
solid points in that category.
No question.
Has he ever been on the cover of Rolling Stone? That kind of thing.
I don't.
Do they
I
like his stuff?
So.
Do they put him on
I don't
any
think
lists?
He hit, I mean, the only list that I would say Todd or his work consistently makes, and this ties into the next category, is classic albums. And Something, Anything, kind of his masterpiece, shows up on a lot of greatest lists, whether it's greatest of the 70s, it's on the 500 greatest albums list from Rolling Stone.
Well, I'd say Wizard of True Star and Something, Anything. I mean, both of those are... Mm-hmm. But, he goes back to the to Philly with, the garage rock band Naz. Mm-hmm. He's got... his roots are really deep. I mean, you could really make a good case for Rundgren. Like I said, like the Zelig, he shows up in important moments, and and he's not necessarily the one that you notice, but He's the thrill line.
Or the Forrest Gump.
Yeah,
Forrest Gump.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, right, he's in every well, Forrest Gump was Zelig,
yeah. Yeah, of course, of course. So I would say, you know, Something, Anything is, and like you said, A Wizard, A True Star, which those were back-to-back, 72, 73. That was kind of his peak artistically. And those are the albums that people reference when they talk about, like, what are the definitive Rundgren albums, especially Something, Anything. And then let's talk about his iconic songs slash his recognizable songs. What are the songs that people know when you hear the name Rundgren? Aforementioned, I think probably the most famous would have to be, and we'll just
love all of the instruments on this song. I love that it leads with piano, which is my favorite instrument. I love this song. I think it
from Something, Anything. This
and
is Hello,
it
it's
tells
me.
It tells a story.
Now, speaking of Naz, this song was a Naz song. Hello, It's Me was a song that he released with his band, Naz, in the
60s. Did they spell it N-A-S?
N-A-Z-Z.
Okay, good.
It was not Naz.
That would be difficult.
Not
be...
Naz.
Yeah.
Naz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Naz.
Naz is N-A-S. Yeah.
Naz.
Naz.
The, so this, and then he ended up re-releasing it, thinking it, you know, it deserves another shot. So then it was, he re-recorded it and put it on Something.
And what about the Stadium Classic, Bang the Drum?
I think that's
just
probably
one victory. Another one that's
I can't believe
one.
That Bang the
so
Drum.
So let's put on.
That
Bang
is something
drum.
I did not know. I found that out during.
Well, you
the...
would never know, Todd. I mean, because he has so many different guises, and then you listen to Utopia, and that's a whole other thing. I mean. I always appreciate him as a succinct, a good pop songwriter,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the days of Naz. But, Utopia was a whole other left field turn that he just came back and did a Utopia reunion tour where he played the Utopia songs. And, people loved that. People loved that period.
Mm-hmm.
Bang on the Drum, when I was a kid, I used to think was a Talking Heads song.
Oh, interesting. Because it's got that weird,
it's got
jerky...
the weird, jerky thing, and the vocals are kind of Burnsy, and the mm-hmm. Kind of the organ in it. I mean, it feels like the song Stay Up, like Sister, Sister, He's Just a Baby. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounds like Stay Up Late to me. Like, this song is very, like, in the same
vein. Hey, speaking
vein.
Of the Talking Heads, did you guys see that video of Trump in Once in a Lifetime?
No.
Oh, it's a viral video of
so
like
it's
Trump
like in
the video.
In like the white
yeah,
background.
Yeah, the
oh
whole
my gosh.
Same as it ever was.
That might
but
be,
it's got Trump doing it. It's
that's
hilarious.
Triggering. I don't think I can
say that might upset me.
It did upset some people, but it's hilarious.
It just, yeah, kind of hurt my heart.
Yeah,
mostly.
I hate to even think of them in the same universe.
Someone else said that. I hate to think of that song, one of my favorite songs related
yeah.
to Trump.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I don't even want that in my rattling around in my brain at all.
Yeah.
But Bang the Drum All Day is like a song that winds up on commercials.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
yeah.
for, I mean, we've mentioned Carnival Cruise before. It feels
and
like.
Stadium, and you know, and the stadium timeouts.
Yeah,
know?
For sure.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. This
yeah,
is like
yeah.
a, this is a hockey.
Like Blitzkrieg
game.
Bop or one
yeah.
of those.
Seven Nation Army or like one
Seven,
of those
yeah.
songs that
just
kind of
it's got a
that
driving
college
beat.
Marching bands play
yeah mm-hmm. and that everybody can kind of bop around to and then the Kiss Cam gets you
exactly.
you know like
I would so those are probably the top two you know one being a much more like kind
what
of
was Bang
poppy.
On the Drum on what
album is called The Ever Popular Tortured Artist Effect which was kind of his
excuse me
he had been around for a bit at that point it was an 80s song
yeah
you know?
It definitely was an 80s song
yeah but off of Something, Anything, I think maybe it's
that is a name of an album. I mean, that is a name of
yeah,
an album.
He
the
goes
ever
for
popular
it.
Tortured
something
artist
slash
effect.
Anything.
I mean, Something, Anything. That is a great album name. The ever popular tortured artist effect is a very bad name for an album.
It kind of reminds me of Supposed Infatuation Junkie.
Oh my gosh,
Alanis.
Who was that? Alanis. Yes, that was her
follow-up album.
Yeah.
yeah.
And then what was the third album? The third album was just Todd, right? Playing so, Todd, T-O-D-D.
Yeah, it's so the first one is Runt, and then Something, Anything, and then A Wizard, A True Star, and then Todd.
But the Ballad of Todd Rundgren. Ooh. What was that? Runt, The Ballad of Todd Rundgren?
That would have... is that a song?
No, that was an album.
Oh, title. Yeah, that's right. Sorry, there's something in 71 called Runt, The Ballad of Todd Rundgren. Right. It's unclear to me what the distinction is between those two.
Wait, A Wizard, A True Star? That's the name of one of his albums?
That's what we
have
brought
awesome
that up before.
That's an awesome name for I didn't
listen to that album.
It was coming
that is
out so quickly like A Wizard, A True Star, but now I hear it truly and I can appreciate the glory that...
Have you listened to that?
This one? Oh yeah, I know this song. I saw the light. This is a great song.
Yeah, this is what kicks off Something Anything.
This
I think,
song is
a,
very,
one of his
very
best.
Good.
I've never listened to it.
That's another
true star.
I mean, it's got this is this kind of production, this kind of song. This is very Carole King to me. It's like it is exactly what I like to hear from this genre of music. This is what I'm looking for.
Well, it's sort of the bridge between the Brill Building and then, you know, and what became rock. So, you know, his roots are definitely, you know, Philly soul and then, you know, and then rock. And
the Brill Building where all the songwriters lived. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I do. I know that.
Right.
I know that.
Carole
from
King.
I know it from
Goffin and King.
I know that from Beautiful, the Carole King musical.
Sure. There you go.
There you go.
And I think another great track that was not a hit at the time from Something Anything, but I think is a pretty influential song in terms of power pop, is a song called Couldn't I Just Tell You?
I'm putting in both earbuds for this one.
Which, I didn't trim this one, but a lot of these songs from Something Anything have, like, little bit of bullshit.
Interstitials, some
yeah, kind of
sketchy
he'll just be
type
like,
thing.
He messed around in the studio. He was a notorious noodler.
But yeah, this is Couldn't I Just Tell You, which I think is a great kind of early power pop.
Yeah, it's got, a nice, I mean, it's nice. Mm-hmm. This is nice.
It's a nice, it's
it
a nice
really is nice.
Mood.
Yeah, that's a mood. I would definitely, power pop is certainly the descriptor.
Yeah, I really think the Something Anything album has a lot of really great tracks on it, but if we're talking about like what the average person might know, I would throw that on there. And then from the aforementioned Todd, there's, I just want to get to the chorus, we have A Dream Goes On Forever, which
great song,
and one that pops
it's got
up
like
on
a Stevie Wonder opening so far,
that kind of
I'm feeling that
organ
kind
synth.
Of yeah that kind of like grungy organ.
This one has a lot of great production on it as well. Then I would throw on...
I also like his voice. I enjoy his songwriting, too. Like, I like Rundgren.
Hey.
He's someone who I could definitely get into.
We hopped over Runt. I think the big track from Runt was We Gotta Get You a Woman. That's another one that, like, you know, you'll hear on the radio.
Say what?
Yeah, we got to get you a woman, and then at the very end, he's like, hey, you know, maybe one for me too, and then we'll get me one too. It's a real twist at the end.
Oh boy!
You think he's already set up? It's a real Shyamalan. Okay,
some hand claps in it. That's nice.
He's obviously such a producer, like, and you can feel it in his solo work. And then the other one that I would point out as being significant is a song called Can We Still Be Friends? Which is off of an album called Hermit of Mink
Can
Hollow.
Can we still be friends? Is it that?
Not quite. Although
that's War.
War has, war has not been on the ballot
I'm Jay
for a bit.
I'm Jay kidding. I'm Jay kidding, guys.
That's not going to catch on.
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right, so those are...
I'm just K-ing? No. Oh, Jay boy. Kidding. That's way better.
Yep.
You got a catchphrase?
I just got one.
You got one?
I
I'm
guess
Jay
so.
Kidding.
So, I mean, that's just, you know, scratching the surface a little
is
bit.
Is that a good DJ name? Like a radio DJ? It's me, Jay Kidding.
I want it to be on the record that I do not support this. And if you end up choosing this, it was not on me.
I'm
early
Jay
on,
Kidding.
I tried to stop it. I did my best at course
What's
correct
up,
history.
Fools? I'm Jay Kidding.
I want it to be very clear.
Good,
this is Joke Was Awesome trying to
there.
Put the kibosh
you
on
this.
You
know what, fans, fam, let us know.
I think at this point, Roy,
like,
I just
you,
ignore
this
and
is
move
L,
on.
Yeah, this
now,
is LMAO.
Are you Jay Kidding?
Oh, no. All right, so commercial success. And like we talked about before, he's like a critical darling. He is not exactly, although he, I think, is consistent in terms of being... you know, not he's not selling zero albums, but it's not like he's, you know, going platinum. I think
Something he had a couple of best-selling records.
Something I mean, Anything Went Gold. Yeah.
Had a couple of hits, but they're usually, it's pretty quirky for him, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, Hello, It's Me is, you know, the definition of kind of a left field type of hit. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, who saw that coming? Yeah.
You go through it, though, and, you know, he's had some peaks.
Yeah.
No question.
Nothing, you know, platinum or, you know.
I don't know if when you consider his candidacy, you take into account his producing credits. I don't know if everyone's going to do that. I mean, everyone has their own, you know, mm-hmm. way of judging the ballot.
They don't all get Joe's envelope full of five categories.
Yeah, you know, technically,
he's right. They do have to, you know, they do have to touch those bases.
Mm-hmm. And I think when it comes to his production career, technically, you are not supposed to. I mean, this is supposed to be about his career as a solo artist, but. Well, you can decide whatever
I mean,
you want as a voter.
That's going to be very sure. interesting with the old Stevie Nicksy.
Mm-hmm. Right, because people will be thinking of Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
But, you know, Laura Nyro, who we mentioned before, is in the hall, and you might consider her someone who is more influential as a songwriter than necessarily a recording artist.
That's true.
But she was inducted as an artist, and I do think people
Carole
were thinking...
Meanwhile, King is in songwriter's no man's land over there. I'm just trying to get her moved over.
Yeah. Let's talk about longevity. You know, the Nas was the 60s. Rundgren started recording. I think technically his solo career started in the late 60s. And then all throughout the 70s, and Bang on the Drum was in the 80s. And he has, you know, that's probably where it starts to kind of fall off for Rundgren's relevance in the kind of general view.
Is he still around doing it? He constantly. Did the Utopia tour, said, yeah?
No, he's still active.
I mean, he was, for a time, the lead singer of the Cars.
He was, the New Cars, yeah.
They were called the New Cars.
Whoa,
that was
New
the
Cars.
The Cars without Rick Ocasek.
Yeah, so he still tours, and he... shows up, and I believe he's still...
The New Cars playing Cars songs sung by Rundgren?
Yes.
That sounds interesting.
I mean, he's a better singer than Ocasek.
Yeah, okay.
That was for a period of time. He's still going.
I don't know what he looks like right now, but I imagine it's Riff Raff from...
from Spring Breakers?
No, from Rocky Horror Picture Show, The Butler.
I was like, why do you think he looks like that James Franco character from Spring Breakers?
No. Riff Raff, the rapper, the white rapper with the...
I thought you meant with the cornrows,
with the cornrows
and the gold teeth.
No.
And I was like, he does not look like that at all.
No,
Tom
like
looks pretty much the same as he did. I mean,
yeah.
only a little older.
So kind of like the butler from the
but
Rocky
Horror Picture
Show. But
he keeps the hair going.
Because he has always kind of covered his face. You know, long hair and like, you know, big sunglasses.
Big old, like, what's his face? Elton John type sunglasses.
Yeah. If you look, I mean, his hair has always been... you know,
show me.
Let's look at this. I think this is a pretty recent picture. It's kind of small, but you know,
okay.
He's always colored
so he's
the hair.
Got
also,
a bit, he's got a kind
colors.
Of a Rick Ocasek face, a little bit,
which is one of the rudest things you could say.
People thought Todd was cute back in the day. I mean, they were only talking about it.
Well,
if
we
take a look at this,
was,
if you take a look, Kristen, here's young Todd.
No, I didn't find cutie. Him. I just remember him being like a strange looking guy.
Yeah, I mean, also look at this picture. Like, not flattering, but luckily we don't have to consider that. Let's talk about Todd's influence and innovation. I think I talked about the kind of power pop, you know, that kind of came after him, and I think you can draw a line back to that. I think a lot of his production techniques, I know we're not supposed to necessarily consider his production techniques, but I think a lot of what he did was influential.
Well, Utopia was very futuristic. I mean... Mm-hmm.
Did we talk about Utopia? Did you play any songs from Utopia?
No.
What's Utopia's deal?
So Utopia, I mean, do you...
Progressive, prog rock, a lot of keyboards, a lot of noodling, you know, that kind of thing. Not as much songcraft, which is why I wasn't as big a fan of Utopia as some other people were, but I think Utopia's aged rather well, actually. You
what's
know?
The average length of a song on Utopia? Are we talking
so
6 to 8
let's
minutes?
Let's be clear, yeah, Utopia kind of, yeah. is a separate band.
Oh!
So if we are to be technical about Rundgren in his candidacy, Utopia is not part of it. But again, when you think about the man, you consider everything that he's doing.
Well, it's not Utopia that's being inducted.
Right,
but,
exactly.
But it is Todd. And, I mean, there haven't been very many cases like him over the years. And you're right. Most of them have been handled in the kind of the producer section or mm-hmm. the songwriter or like you said with Niall last year, what was that, merit award?
It was
or something?
Musical excellence. Only been a few. I mean, that's where Ringo goes. You know,
I think that this trip on the ballot may be a through path to that kind of honor for mm-hmm. Todd.
Interesting.
It would make more sense. And obviously Sheik were on for years and years without 11, getting in.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the real oversights of the committee or the voting body, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
The voting body is kind of raucous. I mean, they've changed their tune a little bit over the years.
Yeah.
As they've diversified the membership, as everyone else has done,
Rockist.
As the Grammys have done, mm-hmm. as the Oscars have done,
but it's a little bit of a it's hard to diversify when also automatically the people who are inducted are then become voting members,
and also when the word rock is
well, that's
in
true.
The name and people
right?
have
you make
notions.
You make a good point. The more of these old timers that get in and become members, the more you're going to get these backwards looking kind of, you know, a 60s band like the Zombies. I mean, it's going to have to be eventually like the Baseball Hall of Fame, where they have a veterans committee
mm-hmm.
to judge these bands. You know,
right.
eventually people are going to
mm-hmm.
get so, you know, there's going to be so old that they have, you know, that they haven't,
they don't
nobody's
know
really seen these bands, you know, seen these bands or,
right,
you know,
well,
experience these bands firsthand.
You know what popped up on Twitter that was interesting was Terry Sylvester, who was a late period member of the Hollies, was inducted with them in 2010, and he's a voting member now. And he just posted on Twitter, "I got my ballot. I'm voting for the Zombies. I don't know who else." He seemed to indicate he didn't know
anybody else
except the Zombies, which kind of points to...
Oh, I saw that, and people said this is the real problem with these mm-hmm. voters. They just, they don't know. You know,
yeah,
they
is he qualified to be a voter?
They haven't kept up, but...
Yeah, if he doesn't know anyone but the Zombies, probably not qualified.
Yeah.
I mean, he did join the Hollies right before they were almost done, so I guess he's qualified, but it's an interesting thing. And then, you know, consider the last time... someone like Janet Jackson was on the ballot. Now she's facing a voting body that has everyone from Bon Jovi and the Moody Blues and Yes and
Dire Straits,
yeah,
and the Cars
I'm curious because I know they're trying to diversify, like you said, but then you've also got the olds letting in the olds, and then that you wonder if the tug of war between those two things.
Well, I've said that before. I mean, as rock and roll as a genre, you know, becomes more and more, you know, time bound as we go on, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is going to have to evolve as well in terms of the music that gets in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously we've already seen, you know, hip hop start to make inroads, dance music start to make inroads, R&B start to make inroads. And, you know, that is the way that this is going. It's the only way that this is going to continue to be a fresh and vital
yes.
and growing and relevant institution.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's go ahead. Let's get to our verdict.
Oh, yeah.
We have one more category. Does my mom know who Todd Rundgren is? And the answer is yes.
Yes, mine
I think
too.
That's
your
it.
Mom's pretty hip.
I mean, my mom also was around in the 70s.
Was a contemporary of hers?
Yeah, my dad has a... I was looking through his record collection in the basement of her childhood home, and Something Anything was in there. I found it.
Yeah, my mom definitely...
That was in a lot of record collections.
I bet.
I mean,
it's
Todd
awesome.
Back then was... Todd was... it's hard to believe right now, but I mean, he was the... At one point, the go-to producer guy
mm-hmm.
that you'd go
oh, yeah.
for your projects,
right.
you know, like Rick Rubin is, or you know, or Dr. Luke was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Todd was the guy.
That guy,
yeah.
And and all sorts of different music, as
yeah.
you saw. I
right.
mean,
it's
everything
like
from
really
the bombast of Meatloaf to the bombast of Grand Funk, but
or
you
like
know,
Badfinger.
Or the
he
soul
did like
of all
early
Badfinger
album, and yeah,
he did that one album of all Beatles songs that he covered the complete Beatles songs. What was it called? Cover?
I think it was called Cover. Familiar, yeah. All right. Well, let's go through the verdict. Will he get in? Should he get in? When? And will it be this year? And we'll start with Kristen.
I think he will. I think he should. I don't know if it's going to be this year. I imagine that, it might be, honestly, it really might be, especially considering that he's number three on the fan ballot and mm-hmm. considering what the voting body it is and what people, you know, they want what they're familiar with. And I just have a feeling that he's going to be more familiar than other things for a lot of the people who are voting. So I do think he could get in this year, but I think he will get in within the next 5 years if he is nommed again.
Okay. Roy, what do you think? Should Kristen? He, will he,
wow.
when?
Well,
yeah, I know. I've come a long way with my opinions.
You
I
have.
Really,
look at you. Well-formed opinions backed by facts, too.
It's terrifying.
Jay kidding? You're something else.
Yeah.
I got to say.
It is catching on.
It's catching on in this room, two-thirds majority.
Hit him with the hein.
Yes.
Okay. You know, I this is a tough year. It's mm-hmm. it's stacked with, what are there, 13? Have there ever 15. Been this many?
This is actually, this is a smaller number than it's been in the past
this
few.
This is smaller?
I mean, the 15 this year, last few years, it's been 19. But it's,
whoa,
yeah.
That's a
really?
Lot.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't realize. 19. I thought it was really large this year. You know, I think this is a tough year. Mm-hmm. I don't see Todd getting in this year. Deserving, yes, absolutely. I mean, and that's sort of very biased point of view because I grew up with Todd and really he has a
well,
special
you
place.
You helped Colin Oates get in, so you kind of owe him. You know what I
yeah,
mean?
True. I mean, Todd deserves this. You know, there's no question about it. I think Joe, as I said before, I think. You know, that it may be moving him into a kind of a musical excellence sort of category. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is the visibility he needs for that because I think as a performer, quite honestly, I don't know if he makes it as a performer. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, yes, but in the objective, you know, sense of it, I don't know if he does. But certainly in his influence and his effect and the range of what he can do and has done, I certainly think he's deserving. And he will be on my ballot this year. I will vote for him. I will vote for him.
Yeah.
But I don't. Jeez. But I don't believe
we
he's getting
in. We
already
know two of your choices. I'm inter.
Two R's. Two R's.
Okay.
There's a lot of R's on the ballot.
There are, I know. Two
so,
R's, but not all the R's.
If not this year, which you're saying probably not this year, you think maybe backdoor induction in a category?
That would be the best case scenario. Mm-hmm. I think Todd has a difficult path here, though. Though the fan voting is interesting.
Promising.
Yeah. I mean, that certainly puts him in, that's a good thing. It's not a bad mm-hmm. thing. And that may influence some voters, but this ballot is stacked.
It's mm-hmm. a good
we've
ballot.
Said before,
I can't
stacked.
Believe how good
and,
the ballot
I,
is.
It's almost
and,
hard
and
to
I
put
mean,
together a class that's
I couldn't,
disappointing.
Yeah, I couldn't exactly. I mean, yeah.
Even
you know,
if
I went through here,
I couldn't even
eliminate any of these. I mean, I actually think that they are all deserving on this mm-hmm. On this ballot. I really do.
It's incredible.
Whether they all get in or not.
Wouldn't that be
you know.
Amazing? They're like, all right, guys, we
you're
realize that we've had some years that have been disappointing in the past. And you know what?
The show will run
they're
forever,
in.
Though. You got to.
Okay.
Listen, they've also got to think.
Everybody
it's a
plays
TV
one
show,
song
not as
and
much
some
as the Grammys
together.
And the Oscars, but it is a TV show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's already
and,
3 hours long.
It's very
right.
long.
I mean,
it's really
the live
long.
Five
like
hours,
five,
yeah.
At least. Yeah.
Oh, you mean, yeah, we just see the edited
right,
version.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
They have to
on HBO.
Significantly edit
that. And that's 4 hours long.
Do you go to the inductions? How many?
No. This one's at the Barclays
this
Center.
This will
be at
Barclays.
Yeah.
We'll be there.
We're going to be there.
Really?
I mean,
yep,
like,
we're going.
Why the fuck not? We I feel like we
have
to.
We've decided that we're going.
Have you ever been to one before?
I was
been.
At 2017 at the when it was last at the Barclays. Yeah.
Last
at
the Barclays?
Which was yeah. Pearl Jam and Tupac and Journey. All right. So my verdict is I think Todd should get in, and even just solo career. I mean, like, it's hard to divorce it from the production career. I think he will get in. I think he's getting in this year.
Wow.
Ooh.
I think he will get
do
in
you
this
think
year.
Name, do you think it's the based on the voting body? Do you think that my reasons were sound?
I think he has...
I just want to hear you say that.
I think he obviously has name recognition, which really carries... Like, across the board, if you have name recognition, that will help you. I think also he... We talked about he was the go-to producer. He's worked with a lot of people. People who are already in the hall have worked with him, like him, respect him. I think having friends like that in the industry mm-hmm. really helps. I also think he hits that category that tends to do really well when we look at the ballot and we look at who gets inducted.
It's critical, darling.
He is, but he is a classic rock artist yeah. from the 70s. I think...
It'll surprise me if that's the case.
I think that will help him.
I don't think it's impossible, but I think that this ballot is packed with some mm-hmm. people that are kind of long overdue, and it might be the last chance. But you know, I don't know. I mean, we could go into who I'm voting for, and then who I think is going
to
go in.
We'll
get in.
We're going to do that after the break.
We could do that.
We will,
because that's two different things,
yes.
obviously.
And I would love to get your thoughts on that. But I think, yeah, I'm expecting Todd to get in this year, and if he doesn't, I think he'll keep showing up on the ballot until he does. I think he will do well enough in the vote with the voting body that they won't feel like they need to backdoor him, because I think he will eventually get the votes for induction. So even though musical excellence might be the appropriate category, I just think he'll probably get voted in the normal way, which is, you know, less of a, you know, backhanded compliment.
They should do something where, aside from the five that get in, maybe like, you know, three or four of those top vote getters automatically go on to the next ballot.
Yeah, of the ones who are number six.
Yes,
seven,
yeah,
eight.
Yeah, of the also rans.
Oh. Yeah, and I might.
To me, that might be a way of. I mean, sometimes they appear once they disappear. Mm-hmm.
My guess is that is considered when they make the next ballot, based on what I had heard.
The strength of the of the voting
of the showing.
I'm sure
the
that
last
it is.
I had heard that Judas Priest did very poorly with the voting body last year, which is why they were not on the ballot.
And
this year.
They didn't show up at all this
year. That's what I've heard. So let's say Rundgren gets inducted though. This year, who inducts him? Who gives the speech to induct Rundgren? I think.
Wow, that's a really good question.
Daryl Hall is a pretty.
Ooh, that's a good
fellow
one.
Fellow Philly or Questlove. I mean, mm-hmm. could be. Who's associated with
I think Carol.
Todd?
I mean, I'm going to say Carole King's name one more time, then I'm not going to say it again.
You'd like Carole King to
I
induct
think
Todd?
Carole King could induct.
Who isn't associated with Todd though? Is kind of the other question. Is like he's worked with. I mean, you could get fucking Meatloaf up there.
I was just thinking the same thing. I mean, a Meatloaf induction would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, he gave a good speech.
Although Meatloaf's never been considered for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
So yeah, he might not be too thrilled.
Maybe
with that
they do like a dueling piano style set.
Todd's worked with so many people. I feel like
does Meatloaf play his own piano? Does he do all that?
I don't know. Usually he's just like running
around.
He's
just operatically singing.
I feel like
he was in the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Okay, we brought it all together.
Hey, look, I'm Jay Kidd.
Oh my God. So there's a lot of people that it could be. It feels like he and Daryl Hall have worked together and seem to admire each other.
Yeah, they just did something. I think Todd was on his Live from Daryl's House show from Hawaii not too long ago. And that would make a lot of sense. That would be kind of interesting. I mean, my good friend Jonathan Wolfson manages Daryl and John. And I would say one thing, though. I don't know, you know, Daryl's kind of thorny and feisty and
interesting,
and
he might not play ball with the hall.
Yes, he was not too happy with the treatment of the whole experience.
Oh,
ooh.
Interesting. Okay,
Daryl in
so?
The hall. I just think that there was I think that they made him jump through too many hoops. It was like, who needs it? I mean, you know, that's kept pretty under wraps. I mean, Steve Miller was someone
really
who a couple of years ago went off. But I think a lot more of the artists feel that way.
I mean,
than
Bon Jovi
not,
made it plain.
In terms of
felt.
Tickets and what they have to pay. And, and they're serving as basically entertainment.
Yeah, free entertainment.
So, you know, there's a lot of back and forth that goes on.
There's that, but there's also, it is such a meaningful, I'm sure it'd be very meaningful.
It's
for
a trade-off.
Todd,
I mean, even Howard Stern showed up to induct John Bon Jovi.
It's a big night for the artists that are inducted.
It is.
So people kind of
it is, and a lot of people,
out.
A lot of they do. They bite their tongue and do it.
So Rundgren, if Rundgren's inducted, usually they play three songs. What's a good three song set for Todd Rundgren?
He starts with "Hello, It's Me" because
it's
says
a
hello
literal
in the
a
name.
Greeting. Yeah,
you gotta do it. Hello, it's me. Todd Rundgren, member of
the
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I saw the light.
I saw the light.
It's pretty good.
I will say that I saw the light and Hello It's
like
Me have a similar vibe.
I like Just One Victory. I mean, it's just
okay. That's kind of a deep cut.
It's just such an anthem. I mean, what is that one on? I think that's on Wizard or True Star. Just One Victory.
That's one that is over my head, but I love the deep
he's
cut.
Played
picks.
He played that.
He plays that out live.
He plays
a lot.
That. Yeah.
From the first album, We Gotta Get You a Woman, just seems like, because it's from the first album, that's usually like a fun, because I wonder about I Saw the Light, because it's on Hello, it's on
so,
the same
and
album
it
as well,
has a very similar vibe to
yeah.
Hello, It's Me.
So I think
Do you think
good,
he plays Bang on the Drum?
Maybe, just because it's like fun.
At the end,
maybe
and then
that's
the
beach
jam. Balls come out through the
maybe,
audience.
Maybe
and
that's the jam with all the
And then there's a kiss
inductees.
Cam in the audience, yeah. And we're getting,
a buzzer beater,
you know?
Someone does a slam dunk, breaks the backboard, shatters everywhere.
It's great.
I do think Bang the Drum, it's fun.
I
and
really
it's
do.
A recognizable
I
one.
I think you then they throw the inflatable guitars into the audience. Everybody's keeping them bopping in the air.
I think my
is
songs.
That where the t-shirt cannons
yeah,
come
yeah,
out?
Yeah, and then the cannons come out.
Yeah, yeah. The t-shirt the guns. Yeah.
Let me hear you in the balcony.
I'll tell you, if this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony, you know, does end with Bang the Drum, that would be a mind blower.
It'd be very
so
fun.
Cool.
That
also,
would be a mind
it would
blower.
Be really
yeah.
crazy
I could just
to
see
come
everyone
back to
banging
this moment.
On their tables.
Right? Just
that's what I mean. You got
we'll be
everybody
there
going nuts.
If I have to pick three, yeah, Bang the Drum, Hello, It's Me, and We Gotta Get You a Woman, I think. But you can have a lot of, you can come up with a lot of good three
hey,
song sets.
If you guys have thoughts, you can let us know.
Yeah, we're on
Email
Twitter.
Email me at jkidding.
Oh, God.
At Jay Kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good Lord.
At me.
If anyone was Jay Kidding, those are literally my initials. Anyway.
No, you're too busy over there with Joe K. Joe K.
Get off my ass. All right. So I hope, you know,
we need
I think.
This levity today.
Yeah, you should change your last name to Kidding. That would be a better idea.
Oh, my God. Well.
I mean, do you have any vowels in that name or what?
Hmm? It what they're in there. You got to dig for
them.
You got to
find them.
You
got to
find
them.
You
got to dig for
them. I've got only one vowel, but it's three times.
Three times.
It shows up a few times.
AAAJ.
So that's potentially what we're looking at with a Todd Rundgren induction. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to fill out Roy Traken's ballot.
Can you feel the excitement?
We'll be right back.
And we're back. I managed to not look at any election results during the break because there are no election results because it's only 3 o'clock, guys.
Nope. But by the time you hear this, you will know everything. We are back with Roy Traken.
You're living in hopefully a better future.
We are
than
going
my present.
To look through this ballot. This is my first time ever looking at the official ballot, and I will take a picture and put it on online. But it's a very
it looks
shiny
like a booklet, like a program.
But it's a little more significant
receive.
Than that. A little more sturdy.
Oh yeah, it's like laminate, like a you know, a cardstock,
an embossed,
a glossy.
There you go,
glossy
yeah.
cardstock.
A little bit of a gloss to it. Ballot deadline.
I mean,
we
like
know.
A souvenir program, not like a program at a, like not like
yes.
a, not like a you know skinny little printer mm-hmm. paper.
This thing's got some. We're really getting into the nitty gritty. Yeah, it's got some give to it. Ballot deadline December 10th, 2018, and then as you open it up, they give a bit of a rundown of each of the nominees with
rundown?
A selected discography. And who, if they are bands, who is included. This is, I think, essentially what you can already read on the website, but this is in book form.
For the guy from the Hollies, who's probably not going online to check
right.
it out.
Right. The fucking Terry Sylvester's like, who do I vote for? You have a fucking book that will tell
yeah,
you
like,
if you
read. About
you,
it. You could even literally be
ass.
Like, look at the pictures and be like, I like them. They look yeah. cool. That's how I pick things.
Official Rundgren picture. Just...
Whoa. That is not what I would have thought for the Rundgren.
No.
He does have, it is, he's got a strange mouth. Like, he's mm-hmm. got some, he's got a strange mouth.
He looks a little stretched out.
Yeah, that's why I was really picturing him.
Okay. So, and then at the very end here.
So the back page. Oh, and it's
and perforated so that you can rip it off. We have the ballot. Roy, we have your ballot.
Yep.
And you probably have some ideas of who you want to vote for.
Do we have a pen? Are you going to do it like literally right now?
Well, I mean, if you want me to.
Yes.
Why don't we
do.
Okay.
Just to be official about it.
Yes, I'm very excited.
No pencil. Pen.
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 Yeah,
right.
These are no backsies, okay?
And all ballots are due back on Monday, December 10th, 2018. Please note, ballots received after this date will not be counted in bold.
Ooh.
Please complete the ballot in its entirety and detach along the perforated lines. Return in the enclosed envelope. Great. I want to be thorough.
Yeah,
I want to be beyond thorough. Okay, so I have an idea. You've told us that you are going to vote for Todd. That would make sense.
Yeah.
You've already done what I would call a stump speech for Todd.
Yes. Yes.
So that's a given. And
all right, I'm inking in Todd right
put in
here.
Todd.
It's
and
happening.
Then, unless I'm mistaken, I would assume that you would go with Roxy. That was the other band.
That's right. That's right. That's a must. Yeah.
Okay, so we've got...
And you also said in
so
this...
I got two.
All
and
right.
You also said earlier in this episode that the another R.
That was Roxy Music.
No.
Rundgren and Roxy.
Didn't
and you, one R and one more R.
And one more R, Radiohead.
Oh, I would assume
he said
Radiohead.
That he was going
yes.
to vote
right?
for
Radiohead.
So, voting,
he said that
I'm,
earlier.
I'm voting for
That's
Radiohead.
Right.
Yes.
So of the, you know, when Roy and I first were talking to each other on email and I was trying to get him here to do the show, those were three artists that he brought up to discuss.
Whoa!
Three artists that we have discussed on this.
Yes, and they've all been discussed
program.
On this program. Now.
All right, so
all right, those
Roy.
those three are my
definite
know, my no brainers.
Okay.
Now it gets a little complicated.
For sure.
Okay.
And I'll be honest. I've been leaning towards over the past few years, Kraftwerk.
Interesting.
Ooh. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know.
Based on influence.
Yeah.
Based on commercial success. Based on the internationalism of pop music. I mean, and what music has become over the past, 15, 20 years. I think they were at the forefront of that, for
mm-hmm.
sure. I mean, the Jew inside me feels very mixed about... voting for a bunch of Germans,
right.
But
some extremely German people, yeah.
And they are and they are Germanic. They are Teutonic to the core.
Oh,
but
this is Autobahn.
I am leaning towards Kraftwerk.
Interesting,
interesting.
And I know that I have two artists that I'm willing to endorse. Stump
yeah,
for.
I was about to say like if you get
you
out
just
of
said
here
Todd
without
and who else?
Well, if you get
well,
out of
I mean,
here without
two
having
left
to hear about.
For you.
If you get out of here without having either of us make a strong case for Janet Jackson and The Cure, I feel like
it's yeah, that's
yeah,
what it's going to be.
I feel like those are our that's our vote.
I
as
would
the two finals.
Well, endorse Janet Jackson and The Cure. What do you do? What's that pen doing? What's
oh,
that?
Yeah.
I'm toying with Kraftwerk.
Okay,
there.
Let's not make any hasty decisions.
I'm toying with them.
You're toying. Put the pen down,
I'm
Roy.
I'm toying with Kraftwerk. Okay,
I think Kraftwerk would be a good choice, but
yes.
We are not done here, Roy. Okay.
All right. So you're pumping me on Janet Jackson and The Cure.
Yes. I think those are you know. Let's just go ahead and say if Kristen and I had ballots, who we would choose.
Yeah.
So I would go.
Go ahead.
With.
Oh, yeah.
I would do Janet Jackson and The Cure.
Yes.
I would do Devo.
Mm-hmm.
I would do Radiohead, and I would mm-hmm. do LL Cool J. That would be my five.
Wait a second. You didn't include Todd.
I didn't include Todd. Todd would not make my ballot if I had it, and I would feel bad. I also love
Todd
the zombies.
Todd would not make your ballot, but you're predicting that he gets in.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think here's who I think will get in.
Well, it's like your favorite team doesn't always win the Super Bowl.
Okay,
I know.
Okay, wait a second. Why? now this
yes,
is this
no,
is
please.
Interesting. I'm a big Devo fan, mm-hmm. and always were, and I feel that they're definitely an underrated band. But if you look at say. Kraftwerk versus Devo
yes.
at this point,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a decent, you know, a decent comparison.
Yes.
In what they were trying to do and what they did.
Mm-hmm. If you look at the summary of Devo in the ballot, Kraftwerk is mentioned.
Yeah.
Well, you know, by name.
Yes.
And
so, yeah, I mean, Kraftwerk
comes
was
first,
a,
I guess.
Was an influence on Devo.
Mm-hmm, without a doubt.
Yeah. And I like Devo an awful lot,
mm-hmm.
and I think you know, it's no shame that they're on the ballot. You know, whether they get voted in, I mean, I think that a lot of people just consider them a novelty joke. Band.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you ever saw them live back in the day,
they're
I mean,
the real deal.
They were incredible.
We did an episode about them recently where I found out that they are like more of an art collective.
Sure. I mean, that they are.
Well, it was a performance. It was performance art. Yeah. I mean, it literally was. They had that movie, the Truth of Devolution, mm-hmm. that had a whole cosmology. I mean, they were brilliant.
You know, my pick for Devo, if I had a ballot, I would have to admit, is just that's the one from my
But
heart.
I'm thinking Devo were mm-hmm. kind of minor, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were kind of quirky. You know, Devo were so much themselves. I mean, it was hard for them to even influence anything else because they were so sui generis. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They were so much what they were.
Right. But I do think they were influential.
And no one actually copied Kraftwerk either. But I mean, an entire, genre of music was basically created by those songs.
Mm-hmm. By those crazy krauts.
And Giorgio Moroder was in there, and Donna Summer, and, mm-hmm. you know, and kraut rock.
Crazy beeps and boops that now is a people like to...
People love them.
I got to admit, The Cure, I mean, if I put Kraftwerk down, the Cure would be one of those that I would, you know, the fifth spot I have now is completely up in the air.
It's going to be Janet. I don't know. I think your fifth spot is going to be
where
Janet.
I'm going.
I could hear you softening on her. I could hear your. I mean, I've been
pitched on Janet by that crazy Janet in the Rock Hall.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
induct Janet. Induct Janet.
I mean, they're very busy doing their mm-hmm. thing.
They are out there doing their thing.
And I mean. You know, she's tough to argue. She's tough to argue against.
Right.
It's almost impossible.
Especially, you know, this year.
A lot
year,
of people were saying she was, she was the puppet of Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
Which
that she
I
was.
Disagree.
But she was not. I mean, in many ways, listen. In many ways, Janet Jackson set the template for what Beyonce is doing.
Oh, yes. Very, mm-hmm. very, very.
And I mean that the line is the line is unbroken. Yeah. And I think. You know, you may have me convinced that I don't want to put together an all white ballot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And this year in particular, especially when the news broke that after the Super Bowl incident, Les Moonves was committed to mm-hmm. destroying her career, would it not be a beautiful thing
to
cap this year off? With finally an induction into the Rock Hall.
I would love it. I would love to see her name just even in my presence. I would mm-hmm. love to see someone vote for her.
And I, you know, like I said, I would vote for her if I had a ballot. If I were just listing my five favorite or like the five artists on that ballot who I listen to the most, she would not be up there. But I think it's important to recognize, try to be as objective as you can and recognize the distinction there. Mm-hmm.
So she's on your ballot.
She's
on mine.
And Kristen, she's on yours.
Kristen,
who are your five?
Okay. So I was looking at this. So mine is definitely, I mean, Janet for sure. I would do Janet, Radiohead, Roxy, The Cure. And my fifth spot is kind of all over the place. I don't know who would necessarily go into it. Part of me thinks LL. I would probably, when voting, I would probably vote for LL. He would be in my fifth spot.
Boy, I don't even think he's in the Hip Hop Hall of Fame, to be honest with you. But I mean, for what? For Rock the Bells? I mean, Baby Knock You Out?
LL. Mama Knock You Out? LL was like...
The Baby Can't Knock You Out. The Baby Can't Tell You To Knock You Out.
The first solo rap superstar, you know, and is crucial to the story of hip hop. And if hip hop is a part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which it is... You know, definitively.
So he's on your ballot.
He is on my ballot. And again, not an artist that I like listen to a ton, but I recognize the significance and I think he deserves to be in there. Now, again, if I'm stumping for these last two spots, it's The Cure and Janet.
Yeah, that's, I was like, when I saw that there were two spots left, I was like, oh my gosh, it's The Cure and Janet. That's mm-hmm. who we're going to be fighting for. I'm sure of it.
And if you wanted to go with Kraftwerk, I would say that
then
last spot
Janet
should be Janet.
Should go for number five.
That would be my, I even though I've been very publicly The Cure are the biggest snub because I think they are. I would say it.
See, I loved early Cure. I mean, Killing an Arab, early Cure.
Yeah,
and
Boys Don't
when
Cry.
The, and Boys Don't Cry. Yeah, I mean, when the cult of Robert Smith started gaining, you know, I mean, that was when I mean, they're deserving. I just don't think I'm going to vote for them this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, I'd be willing to go Kraftwerk, Janet Jackson.
Do it, do it.
I think, you know.
I mean, just because you got to kind of, you got to give it to some R&B. I mean,
yeah.
You really mm-hmm. have to.
And that is a category and a genre that it seems like we haven't broken the door down yet, and that's what Janet's induction would do.
And it would be so symbolic and important this year.
This year,
and also
sure.
It'd get all those people on Twitter off your back.
Right. So who's getting in?
Okay. So yeah, okay. very different from.
Wait, are you filling it out right now, or what's happening? I want to lock this down.
I'm blocking in Kraftwerk.
Okay. And then let's see that, Janet.
Let's go ahead and do that, Janet.
Let's see it happen.
Listen
right.
to you two guys.
This is the only kind of voter intimidation.
I'm open to bribes.
For.
You're gonna want to give me $1 for voting for Janet?
So,
or?
No, I don't think I should have to.
I've said about that. I would have.
She gave you Miss You Much.
Yeah, she's given you
$1.
I think who
only if you're nasty, Miss Kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
Miss Kidding.
And I am not Jay Kidding.
Only if you're nasty.
So I think who will get in? I think it will be Def Leppard.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will be Stevie Nicks.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will be Rundgren, Radiohead, and Janet. I think there will also be Six this year, and I think the Zombies will get in. I may be being a little hopeful with
Radiohead
and Janet,
yeah, I
don't because
know
they've been
Radiohead.
On the ballot.
Why do they
before?
Do with Six? They'll go to Six if there's
if the votes are close enough. Is
if
what
they're
they
close
said.
Enough, they'll
yeah.
go Six.
And I think
or
this year,
seven or just Six.
I don't think they would go to Seven. They haven't done Seven in a long time, but they've done Six. You know, they
I want
did
you
six
all to know he
ago.
Still hasn't filled in the Janet Jackson bubble, and I am sweating it.
Yeah, aren't
I have
you?
Had a
He's
really
make you.
I've had yeah. a difficult day, you know, and
should I go for Dianne Feinstein or should I go
Kevin
for
DeLeon.
Kevin DeLeon? It's
yeah,
like
Kevin DeLeon.
You know.
So
I've had
yeah.
a hard day.
I always kind of when I'm trying to guess who will end up being. In the class, I try to go. I always think of like, yeah, the old white dudes who are voting. No offense, Roy.
Yeah, because yeah, I'm an old white.
But
dude
I think of like, I kind of think of like, who would Gene Simmons vote for? Who would you know Bon Jovi vote for? Who would yeah? And it's you know you look at last year, you could have predicted it. You're like, oh yeah, it's going to be the Moody Blues, Bon Jovi, the Cars, Dire Straits, that all fits the classic rock category. What's nice about this ballot is we don't really have that many names that are that predictable
yeah.
and kind of, for lack of a better word, boring. You know, I think Def Leppard is the one where
also,
it's like...
Also, Janet would do a great dance. She would
put on quite a show.
She would put on a show.
She would really put on a show. And you know, if you
great.
Think... My, you know, Michael's in.
Then Bang on the Drum starts playing. She's tossing out the
yeah. No, I'm not. I wouldn't argue. I mean, I would. I you know, I'm down with that.
Okay, great. Let's
I'm
see it. Put
that.
Your
put
pen
ink
where.
In
put the ink next. To, can,
okay.
I cannot
Roy,
relax.
I'm gonna do color commentary. Roy just took in a deep breath.
He picks up the pen.
He's picking up the pen.
He's picking up the pen. I think I'm gonna do the Ouija system with this.
Oh boy, do a little roulette.
All right, I'm going for Janet.
He's
I'm putting,
putting
I'm
Janet.
Putting
oh
in.
My
you
gosh, I really I've had.
She was sweating.
So who wins? So who goes this year? I think Def Leppard in.
Uh huh.
Maybe Janet.
I would love that. I mean, she's number
two.
Six in the fan vote, so
it's
like
true.
She could.
Radiohead
go.
Three. Will they do the Zombies this year?
I think Zombies are going to get in this
Maybe.
Year.
Maybe.
They have a good shot. I mean, if we go by the Terry Sylvester rule.
Yeah, the Terry Sylvester rule. Like, I don't know anybody else. Yeah. I'm just going to go with the guys that started with
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Stevie. Stevie,
yeah.
Yeah,
it seems
in.
Like...
Yeah, that...
She was
that,
number one
that,
at the
that,
museum.
That might be
vote.
It. It'll be interesting to see if Radiohead gets in.
Yeah, it's hard.
I think they're polarizing.
They are, but they're undeniable, too.
They're polarizing. I mean, I agree. I mean, I think that, you know, they're deserving.
Mm-hmm.
But
do I have them in the fantasy draft?
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
I think I have Radiohead and I have LL in the fantasy draft.
You have Radiohead, LL, and one other one. Zombies.
Zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did a draft, obviously, because we treat this like sports. So we did a fantasy draft. And Kristen and I did pretty well.
Yeah. It's almost like we've really been paying attention.
It's almost like we talk about it every single week. Almost. Well, that's a good looking ballot.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I think that's a good one. I mean, of all of those, I think I've got a chance of maybe two of them getting in. But
yeah,
I
mean,
to see that.
But you don't
win, though. That'd be a great ballot for me.
That'd be an incredible ballot. And also, you don't fight for the ones that are going to get in. You fight for the ones that need your vote. That's what I've always said. Yeah,
they've been hawking me about Janet. I mean, I have no opposition to to Janet. I think she's deserving, and you know, we got to start. People will quibble: is she rock? Is she not rock? I mean, that.
Michael Jackson was not the king of rock, even at this point.
It 100% is irrelevant. Yeah. She's on the ballot. She's rock. That's, you know.
Yeah.
If you think the nominating committee hasn't discussed it a bunch by the time it got to the ballot, then
that's true. Yeah.
Well, it's good to see Janet on the ballot.
I mean, I agree.
I know she's got a very active fan base.
She really does. And this is going to get them off your back. You're going to be getting accolades. Yeah,
they're
going to
send you flowers, Roy.
They'll love you, Roy.
They'll
send you candy, chocolates.
Yeah.
You did the right thing.
This is like when I'm phone banking and people are like, I already voted. And I'm like, wonderful. We'll leave you alone.
Perfect. Like, right? And you know what? We weren't so, you typically are not supposed to see people's ballots generally. But for this, we did. And I'm glad we did.
Oh, I've seen people post photos of who they voted for.
You want to take a picture of it?
We'll take a picture in a second.
You better believe it.
But that will about do it for this episode. That was thrilling.
What an amazing episode.
I mean,
we learned Kristen's alias now.
Right?
She's got a new alias.
Great. I've been K-Stud for so long. I mean, I'll always be K-Stud. But
let's flip it.
No, I should be K-Stud and you can be Jay Kidding. You're Jay Kidding now, actually.
Oh, boy.
And I'm not Jay Kidding about that.
Roy, is there anything you want to plug? Anything, you know, where you're writing? Where's your work showing up these days?
Just Google me. Roytrakin. You'll be shocked at what you see.
You just might get a glimpse of Todd Rundgren's sweatpants.
Exactly.
Any liner notes or anything coming out?
Well, I got a couple of them now. I did the liner notes to the Ramones, The Ramones Leave Home. I think I just did the liner notes for the 40th anniversary.
Great.
Right, yeah, I did that. I know I did the liner notes. And also for the upcoming vinyl reissue of the Creedence Clearwater Revival catalog.
Revival.
Yes.
The Revival.
Not Revisited, the original, the Revival.
Great. Cool. We'll look out for that.
And I ran into John Fogerty recently.
Oh, yeah?
And I told him, yeah, you know, I did the liner notes for the new vinyl. He says, the record label never called me. They never tell me anything. They always mess things up. I said, I'm sorry, I did the best I could.
Sorry I brought it up.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't start to talk to John Fogerty about the record business.
Yeah.
That's learn that.
He's, yeah. Kristen, anything you got for us?
Yeah, I did the liner notes to my website, hellokristen.com. Mm-hmm. You can check it out. I'm at K-Stud across all platforms. On December 6th, I'll be doing my solo show, One Last Time in Los Angeles.
I get a little something.
Nice. At the Comedy Central stage. And I've got shows coming up all the time. They're on my website.
Mm-hmm.
You can see me around town.
Dang, dude. You can find me at JoeKJoeK. That was mocked earlier. That
LOL.
Is my Twitter account.
Should be Jay Kidding.
JoeKwa on...
Or Just Quitting.
Oh, my
with
Lord.
A KWID. Not Just Quitting. Okay, that... Oh, boy.
Oh, this is...
We fix that in post.
Why?
Oh,
no. Why?
What
I
happened?
I ask you why.
That I take back.
It all
that
fell
I take
apart.
Back. I took back nothing until then.
Yeah, JoeKwa on Instagram. On November 14th, I will be releasing 31 original videos in one day.
You have a release date now.
We finally have a release date. This is something I've been working on for a long time. 31 videos, sketches, short films, all sorts of stuff, all coming out in one day. So look out for that. Follow my Twitter account and you'll see all the goodies.
Yeah.
You can also follow
make
us.
Make some space in your day that day
at,
to watch 31 vids.
At Rock Hall Pod on Twitter. RockHallPod@gmail.com is our, you can send us messages. We really like that. Rate and review us on iTunes. 5 stars only.
You heard that right.
Subscribe, do all that. Thank you to Ted Tramper, Liz Full, Natalie Garcia Mayor for letting us into their home and letting us use their equipment and studio space. Betts the dog is a source of light and love.
She did an incredible job of being therapeutic to me today.
Thank you to Yusu Kim for the music, Mike Lloyd for the logo. I'm Joe Quazala.
I'm Kristen Stoddard.
And who cares
about the Rock Hall?